Welcome to the Comics Cave.
Hello there. I've invited you out here on this cold winter day to share a little Christmas cheer with you. One good thing about being down here underground in the Comics Cave is that the temperature stays pretty constant, regardless of how cold or warm it is outside. I haven't done one of these episodes in quite a while, and it's not for lack of thought. I have had many thoughts about things I want to do with this podcast, but as always, it seems like this one keeps getting pushed to the back burner because of the other things that I'm doing, and I need to swap that a little bit and I'd like to put a higher priority on the Comics Cave. But I thought what I could do is do a little one-shot episode for everybody. This is kind of like a Christmas special comic episode. You know, comic books would do that, right? They would come out with just this Christmas special or one shot or, you know, something that was just in and of itself, one comic. It wasn't part of any continuous run or anything. And so, yeah, I thought I could at least do that for you here before the end of the year. And hopefully the new year will bring many more episodes of the Comics Cave. This actually came about because I was looking for one of the things I like to do every other month or so on the Patreon, just to take a little clip out of a comic book and post it on the Patreon for people to see and just give a little blurb about what's going on in this comic. And I think it's just kind of fun to share these little snapshots, right, out of the comic books from the ages. And so I was looking for a Christmas one that I could throw on Patreon. And I came across this comic and I read it and I enjoyed it. And I thought, well, this would be fun to just share as a little episode for the Comics Cave. And so I figured, why not? Let's do this. And so here we are talking about Power Man and Iron Fist. Sweet Christmas. And this comic came out in 2016. It was written by David F. Walker. The art on it was from Scott Hepburn. The color artist is Matt Miller. And the letterer for this was VC's Clayton Cowles. And I think at this point, lettering had been given out to various, and probably even today, right? I don't know if there's actual letterers. I think it's done by computers, by algorithms, or some combination of an actual person with the letters, but also computer-aided. I'd have to look more into that. But I know around this time, in the early aughts, it became kind of a separate industry to do the lettering for these comics using technology rather than somebody physically writing out all the scripts and all the word balloons. And I may be getting part of that wrong and part of that right or whatever. I'll have to dig more into that and get back to you on that. But so I think VC's Clayton Cowles isn't a person. It is a company or some combination of somebody that built technology to do the lettering. Again, I could be wrong on that. If you know, let me know all about the lettering. Because I know there was like a Comic Craft or something like that. There was some other that's very prominent for lettering back in this time. And I guess one more thing, the cover artist for this was Jamal Campbell. So there's the credits for this. Again, I think I told you already, this came out in 2016. And I wasn't reading comics during this time. I had kind of bowed out in the early 90s, partially because I went on a mission for my church. And when I came back, I wasn't as much into comics. And the comics that I did pick up felt really strange to me. It didn't feel like what I used to read. And so I just kind of dropped out of reading comics. And it's only been within the last 5 years, maybe a little bit more. I always dabble. I'll go into a comic shop every once in a while and pick something up and just see what's going on in comics or read about it or whatever and see what's going on. But I did pick up Fantastic Four there around the quote death of Johnny Storm time frame, and when the FF was created and all that kind of stuff. I was kind of following it around that time, but again, I dropped out until recently. And now I'm kind of back into it, you know. I have Marvel Unlimited, and I started going back to my comic shop as well. But mostly I use Marvel Unlimited. I've been looking into maybe dabbling into DC Unlimited, too. That could be dangerous, because I'm so much more unread on DC stuff than I am on Marvel stuff. And then part of me says, well, why don't you just do Comixology and get all of it? Anyway, you know, that's a deep well to dive into. But anyway, why am I going on about this? This is supposed to be a quick little one-shot episode here for you. Just a quick background. I don't think I ever picked up a Luke Cage or a Power Man or a Power Man and Iron Fist or an Iron Fist comic to purchase for myself. Of course, I was aware of Luke Cage and Iron Fist and the combination of them, the Heroes for Hire. I knew of them, but I never collected their comics or, you know, was a regular follower of them. I know that later on, like around the New Avengers time frame, Luke Cage became an Avenger, and that him and Jessica Jones had gotten married and had a kid together. I was aware of those things, but I didn't have a firsthand knowledge of those comics. And I still don't really, but I always liked Luke Cage. I thought it was cool. He was actually a member of the Fantastic Four for a few issues, and that was pretty cool. I definitely remember Luke Cage from that. Anyway, so I ran across this and I thought it was really fun. I thought it was just kind of a fun little one-shot episode, and so I wanted to share it with you for Christmas. And Sweet Christmas was kind of the catchphrase for Luke Cage. You know, it was because, you know, Luke Cage came out of the blaxploitation era in the 70s, you know, with all the Shaft movies and you know, a lot of the other types of shows that came out around that time. Well, Marvel was always looking at what was big, what was hot, you know, whether it was Kung Fu or blaxploitation or whatever it was, they were always trying to put whatever was hot right now into their comics. And so that's where Luke Cage was born. He was a Harlem's Hero, you know, and there was a lot of that Shaft influence and things like that. And then eventually he was partnered up with Iron Fist, Danny Rand. And my biggest exposure, really, to Luke Cage is with the Netflix series that came out with Luke Cage. I enjoyed that quite a bit. That was along with Jessica Jones and Daredevil. And there was an Iron Fist series as well, which wasn't as good as the Luke Cage one, or the Jessica Jones, or the Daredevil one, for that matter. But I probably liked the Iron Fist one more than a lot of other people, even though I agree it was inferior to the other ones. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I came into this pretty fresh, pretty uninitiated to the world of Power Man and Iron Fist. And let me read you the little caption, because they have this little synopsis of the comic right up top to get everybody, whether you've read these people or not. It says, Orphan Danny Rand earned the power of the Iron Fist in the mystical city of Kunlun. As an adult, Danny oversees the Rand Corporation and moonlights as Iron Fist, Kung Fu defender of the innocent. Prisoner Luke Cage was subjected to experiments that gave him superhuman strength and durability. As Power Man, he is a hero and an Avenger, and now a husband and father. After years apart, they are back together as Heroes for Hire. And I'm pretty sure that at this time, David F. Walker was doing a Power Man and Iron Fist series, and so he probably pitched this or was asked to do this as a Christmas special. Anyway, getting back to Sweet Christmas, that was Luke Cage's kind of trademark phrase. You know, instead of swearing like they would in a Shaft movie, he would say, "Oh, Sweet Christmas," kind of thing. And so it's very fitting, right, that this Christmas-themed comic has Sweet Christmas as the title. And so let's go ahead and get into the plot of it here. It's fairly straightforward, really. It starts out on Thanksgiving in New York City, Times Square. We have a reporter out in front of what she calls the biggest toy store in the country. It's called Toyverse, and it's the exclusive home of the most anticipated toy of the year, the Schnuckies. Apparently, these Schnuckies are like the biggest thing right now. They are an extension of the incredibly popular video game that has outpaced Pokemon Go. So these are like Pokemon lookalikes. And the reporter's holding up one of these dolls, like a plushie doll of this little red gremlin looking thing that has a fluffy tail to it. And she's interviewing the creator of these Schnuckies, Gustav Silb or Silby, maybe. And he's this weird looking dude with deep set eyes. He's got like a Russian winter hat on. And, you know, she's asking about the criticisms that his company has received for exploiting children with his games and his toys. And, you know, he points to the crowd and says, "These people are happy. They're lined up outside the store to get these wonderful things." And he announces that Toyverse will be open 24 hours a day from now until Christmas. You know, and he's trying to sell how inclusive they are and what a great thing these Schnucky toys are for everybody. He even sings a little theme song from the video game or the cartoon or whatever it is about the Schnuckies joining your family, blah, 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 doing all this big sales pitch. And then we cut to Christmas Eve at night. It's, you know, right in the same place. But now Luke Cage and Danny Rand are standing in line outside the Toyverse with Luke's daughter, and she's very excited to go in and see all these Schnuckies. I hope I'm saying that right. I guess it really doesn't matter for the story. Luke Cage is a little grumpy that they're out here on Christmas Eve in a crowd waiting to go into this store. Danny's trying to explain to him why this is such a big thing and that his daughter will love it. And she's kind of falling asleep, right? It's late at night. Eventually, they get into the store. Luke has to wake up his daughter, Danielle. She sees where they're at, and she's all excited and wants to go see everything and get a Schnucky toy. And her and Danny are all excited about it and start singing the song and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, Luke Cage says, "Why don't you guys go check it out? I'll wait here for you. You know, go have fun." So her and Danny run off. And pretty soon, Cage gets a call from someone. It ends up being Jessica Drew, a.k.a. Spider-Woman, who I believe at this time was a fellow Avenger. And she calls him up and she says she needs his help. And he's like, "Where are you? What do you need?" kind of thing. And turns out she's at the store too. And she has a child now. This is something I wasn't aware of. So she's like right behind him or whatever. Her child is screaming, won't stop crying. Luke Cage says, "Sounds like Ingar the Screamer," which is kind of a fun reference. You know, and then Luke says, "You know, give him here," you know, and he kind of pats the child, calms it down, starts singing to it. He says, "Hush, little homie, don't you cry." I think that's funny. And, you know, Jessica just feels overwhelmed. She says she sucks at being a parent. He says, "Oh, it just takes time." Meanwhile, if you're paying attention to the art in the background, you do see this guy in a Santa suit that's carrying like this pitchfork. Kind of, you see him in some of the background scenes, and then we see him in the foreground here. We also see some of the people in the store arguing and fighting over their Snookies, and things start to get violent, you know, and this figure in the Santa suit says how he hates the infernal holidays. Luke and Jessica go outside the store just to talk, you know, talk things over. You know, he shares some of his mistakes he's made as a parent, tells her she can do it. You know, just kind of a two friends talking. He's trying to help her in her moment of crisis here or whatever. And it's kind of a nice little scene with friends. Meanwhile, Danny and Danielle are looking at the Snookies. She says she doesn't like the one that she found. And then she grabs a few more and says something's wrong with all of these different toys. Danny agrees. He says they look kind of funny. Something's wrong with them. Danielle says that she doesn't want one, and she just wants to find her dad and go home. We go back to this dark Santa figure, and he looks at one of the Snookies as well, and he says, it's just as I suspected. And then we see a speech bubble from behind him where he's asked, can I help you with something, Mr. Hellstrom? And so this, and I should have picked up on this before, I guess, but I wasn't really paying that much attention to the backgrounds. But it turns out that this dark Santa is actually Damon Hellstrom, a.k.a. the son of Satan. You know, again, another 70s era comic that came out, you know, when the monster craze was going on, you know, when the Man Thing came out, and Werewolf by Night and Dracula and Monster of Frankenstein, you know, there was a big boom of monster comics in the early 70s and Ghost Rider and all that kind of stuff. But along with that, there was this Son of Satan comic that came out that talked about Damon Hellstrom, who was the literal son of Satan, but he was fighting against the dark forces of Satan. He was kind of a hero, and he would do exorcisms and all kinds of stuff like that. Really kind of fun. I encourage you to seek out the Bronze Age Monsters podcast, where they started out talking about Werewolf by Night, but they did a whole season on the Son of Satan also. And now they're going over a bunch of different Bronze Age monsters in currently. And it's a really good podcast, fun to listen to, fun to hear their take on these characters. Anyway, Damon Hellstrom is also at this huge toy store, Toyverse, right? So this guy says, can I help you with something, Mr. Hellstrom? And we see this owner of the company that was being interviewed at the beginning of the comic. He says, or should I call you Son of Satan? And Damon kind of looks behind him and says, it doesn't matter. We won't be talking long. And he warns the guy. He says, you can either go now of your own accord, or I'll send you back, demon. And then the businessman changes into this monster-looking creature with horns in his head. And he says, you're too late, Son of Satan. The hour has struck. So it's now midnight. It's now Christmas Day. And then it's revealed he fully changes into this monstrous form. And he says, the reign of Krampus begins. And so the owner of this toy store is Krampus, the anti-Santa Claus, right? And here he is. He's going to go head-to-head against Damon Hellstrom, son of Satan. And then all of these Snookies toys turn into little demons, and they start to attack all of the patrons. Many of them start attacking Hellstrom. And there's this cool fight. He fires soul fire from his pitchfork at Krampus. It gets blocked, and they start to fight. Luke and Jessica hear noise from outside the store. They go back in. They start fighting these demons that are coming after them, these Snuggies demons. Luke starts to take them out. There's this really cool shot where Luke destroys one of them, and you just see this huge splat as the sound effect. It's really cool. And of course, Danny and Danielle are fighting. Well, Danny, for the most part, right, is fighting off these demons. He's protecting Danielle. He's put his cowl on now. I guess now he's Iron Fist. And they're fighting through the demons as well. He's doing all of his kung fu moves. And then we have this convergence where they all come together. Damon Hellstrom says, Luke Cage and Jessica Drew, fancy meeting you here. Last minute holiday shopping, are we? And now, you know, the suit that he was wearing has kind of torn off, and you can see the pentagram symbol in his chest. And Luke thinks that Hellstrom is responsible for all this. I guess he's kind of gone a little bit on the evil side at this point in the comics. Before he was kind of a hero, I guess he's kind of gone back and forth a little bit. One of the things that I'm learning about this era of comics is they started to allow more swear words in there. There's a lot of damns. Jessica tells Hellstrom that you better not try to touch my ass again, which, I don't know, just for me, from a 70s and 80s comic book reader, that just seems, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't do that in a comic book. But at this point, you could. I don't know. Has that gone back? You don't see a lot of swearing now in comics, other than, you know, a few here and there. But it seems like in this particular comic, and maybe it was because it's Luke Cage, and maybe that David F. Walker, you know, tried to put more swearing in the comic. I don't know. It's interesting. But anyway, he says that if this isn't his doing, but he's glad that they're there to help him in his fight. He says, neither of you would be my first choice for comrades in arms, but my beloved sister, Satana, won't take my calls. And I owe Doctor Strange money, so forget him. So I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah, I forgot his sister is Satana, who's the daughter of Satan. And he tells them that this is all, that Earth is being invaded by the ancient demon known as Krampus. And that, you know, he's only capable of entering one time every year on Christmas. And I think this is the time, I mean, you know, when I was growing up, nobody said anything about Krampus. It was kind of this forgotten lore. I think it's German lore, right? That, you know, along with Santa Claus, there was this character of Krampus who took the naughty children and put them in bags and took them back to his realm and ate them or whatever. There's different variations, of course, of the Krampus legend. But sometime around this time, I guess it was in the 2010s, maybe it was a little bit before that, but there was kind of like a Krampus craze. Like somebody used Krampus in a book or a movie or something, but all of a sudden everybody was talking about Krampus, and there was a lot of Krampus stories and TV shows and movies all about Krampus. And it was just kind of this big thing. Now it's a very common thing that people talk about it at Christmas time, is there's this anti-Santa Claus character. You know, Santa Claus visits the nice children, but Krampus visits the naughty children and punishes them for their naughtiness, kind of thing. And so, yeah, this is playing into it here. And so, yeah, that's what we're seeing here in this comic. Apparently, according to Hellstrom, it's been more than a century since Krampus has last come to this realm. That years ago, Saint Nicholas defeated Krampus and banished him. You know, and there's a lot of fun comments in here. Like Jessica says, even for being the offspring of Satan, you know, that sounds crazy, right? And then Luke Cage is like, hold up. You're telling me that Saint Nicholas, Santa Claus, is real? And Hellstrom says, well, he was real. The real Saint Nicholas was the protector of children, a fierce warrior, but no one has seen him in nearly 100 years, which explains why Krampus is being so bold, kind of thing. And so, yeah, it's kind of really cool lore here. I guess this is the official take on Santa Claus. I know Santa Claus has shown up in other Marvel comics, though. But anyway, at least at this point, this is what's being told of the Santa legend and the Krampus legend. Anyway, in the middle of this store, there's this huge hole that opens up, And Jessica's like, what the hell is this? And Damon says, hell, indeed. This is an opening to hell, or more specifically, a hell. There's more than one, you know. Of course, you know that, right? There's more than one hell, right? And Cage is like, well, which one is this? And he says, the realm of Krampus. It's like the Bridgeport, Connecticut of hells. At this point, Danny and Danielle show up. So now everybody's back and reunited. Luke is glad to see his daughter, that she's safe. And he thanks Danny for helping him. And then, of course, Danny's surprised to see Jessica there. And so now we have this team, this unlikely team of heroes that are now going to fight Krampus. Hellstrom says, okay, we need to get going. We need to fight this guy, fight these demons, protect the humans. You know, he says that Krampus has used modern technology to gain sway over the people, to blind them to the truth through the video game and the toys. Kind of goes right into the corruption of people due to video games, things like that. And everybody's on board to stop him. But of course, you know, we have Danielle there, the little girl, and then we have Jessica's baby as well. But they're the ones that need to stop Krampus and save the world. Of course, by this time, I guess Krampus has hacked into all the video screens in Times Square. So now they're out of the store, out on Times Square. And we get a little commentary here on our screen time. Damon says, there's a reason he chose this place as his point of invasion. A city of people lost in their screens, not seeing each other. Look around you. He has conquered this land. There is only one way to stop him. And he yells out and he challenges Krampus. And he says, taste my fury, with this huge, I don't know how to describe it, like evil look on it, screaming look on his face. The art in this is, I don't know, part of it, some of it is good. There's some really good shots in here, but there's also some really strange parts in here. And this is one of them. It's just this crazed yelling, screaming, you know, Damon looks deranged. Here, he looks like the evil character when he's saying, taste my fury. And then Luke says to Danny, he says, did he just say taste my fury? Danny says, I didn't know you could taste fury. Maybe he said furry. But Krampus answers Damon's challenge.
Half human fool, you are the shame of your father. He will thank me for ending the dishonor you bring to his legacy.
And then he opens his mouth and blasts Damon with some kind of hellfire or whatever. So he's kind of a crumpled mess on the ground. He's still alive, of course, kind of groaning. And then Luke Cage says, guess he didn't like the taste of fury. And Krampus turns and says, now for the rest of you. And here the art is really weird again. Now, before Krampus looked like this powerful demon, now he looks like a weird cross between, I don't know what, like a Chinese dragon face and a cow. And I don't know. It's just really strange to me. Krampus kind of has some really good looks, but also some really bad art here. I think it's just strange. And I know it's an interpretation. Krampus sends his demons, all these little creatures from the toy store. He tells them,
bring them my souls.
And so Luke and Danny and Jessica start fighting off, you know, killing these demons as they're being attacked. And part for me, it's kind of scary because, you know, we have Danielle there, this little girl, and we have Jessica's baby, and they're trying to defend them. But, you know, there's a scene here where Danielle is being grabbed out. You know, she's on her dad's back, but there's this demon grabbing her coat, pulling her down. Jessica's defending her, holding her baby while fending the demons off of Damon. At one point, the demons have Danielle. Luke Cage turns around. Iron Fist shows up and takes care of the demons, you know, kung fus them, whatever. And then Luke screams out, don't you touch my baby girl, and starts ripping into these demons even more. And then Danny asks Jessica to watch over Danielle. as well, that him and Luke need to go after Krampus. And she says that's fine. But even they're being overwhelmed, right, by these demons. There's so many of them. And, you know, they can punch and kick and destroy a lot of them, but they're really getting overpowered by these demons. And eventually these demons are carrying Luke and Danny toward Krampus. And Danielle yells out for help, you know, somebody help. And Krampus calls out, says,
"There is no help, foolish child. There is no defeating Krampus. All you can do is feed his hunger."
And he looks, as he's saying this, he kind of looks up, and it, across the moon, you see a familiar figure of a sleigh with reindeer flying in front of it. And then you see this figure falling down out of the sky holding this staff. And this figure lands in the middle of the square, and it's just kind of this gnarly looking Santa Claus with a cape and a cowl over his head. But you can see the white beard and part of his red suit. And he comes, you know, he does a superhero landing down on Times Square. And Krampus, who now looks like a platypus, says,
"No, not you. You are dead. Minions, destroy him."
St. Nicholas calls out to Power Man and Iron Fist and says, "Are you injured? Can you fight?" And Luke says, "We're good." And he tells them, he says, "I'll take care of these Hellspawn. You defeat Krampus." And Luke isn't quite sure. He's like, "A demon from hell?" And St. Nicholas says, "For the love of your child, you must." And so they go for it. You know, Danny says, "Let's do this thing." And Luke kind of grumbles. He says, "Ain't nothing worse than Christmas shopping." So he's just kind of put off by this whole thing. But off they go to take on Krampus. You know, Danny is powering up his fist. Luke Cage is all ready to fight. They go after him. Krampus yells out,
"No!"
They both hit him and slam him into a wall. In the background, we see St. Nicholas taking out all these demons. Just kind of a kick butt version of Santa Claus here. You know, he's got the shepherd's crook and whatever, and he's just bashing them. Luke and Danny kick Krampus out into the middle, out by St. Nicholas. St. Nicholas grabs Krampus by the beard or whatever, and then punches down. You see blood coming out from where he's hitting. I mean, this is a bad dude, man, this St. Nicholas. And he says, "Once again, Krampus, you are finished." Gives this death blow. And then St. Nicholas turns to Luke and Danny, and he says, "Thank you for your help. I could not have defeated Krampus without you. I will return him to where he belongs. The effects of his attack will quickly fade. Unfortunately, everything that fostered this attack, the greed, the lack of empathy and human connection, humanity still has a long way to go." And so there, again, is a little commentary how detached we've become as a society. And that probably applies to today just as much or more than it did back in 2016. Damon has come to at this point, and he talks to St. Nicholas, and he says, "You've been gone for so long." And he says, "No, Damon, not gone. I have been watching and waiting for the day I knew would come, the return of Krampus. And I needed to be sure that Krampus thought I had moved on, that he had false confidence." And Damon is still kind of confused. He says, "But all this time, more than a century, and you have done nothing but watch?" And St. Nicholas says, "I've done more than watch. I've operated in secret, coming when I am needed most. Like when a child calls out for something they really need," and he turns to Danielle and kind of gives her like a high five or whatever. So it was Danielle's call for help that brought Santa to the fight, which is kind of cool. You know, I like that idea of Santa listening to children and being there to help children. That's really cool. This is a really cool version of Santa Claus. And they could really delve into this. I mean, he could be his own comic book character, right? You could have him do a Christmas special every year where he defeats, or where he comes and helps children. And I guess it wouldn't have to be at Christmas, right? I mean, if this was a real character, he'd probably come more than just at Christmas time. But here, you know, all of the depictions of Santa Claus are really good. I really like the artistry there. It was just Krampus that was so inconsistent, so terribly drawn sometimes. And Damon a little bit too. But again, Santa Claus, or the way he's depicted here, St. Nicholas says, "I can't protect them all, can't grant every wish, but I do my best, as do all of you, even you, Damon. Though you stray too often from the path, the true meaning of this holiday, of all holidays, is love. We honor those we love. We protect them. I'm proud of you all this day." And he drags Krampus off by the horn to his sleigh. The reindeer have landed at this point, and he goes off to his sleigh. And they just kind of watch him go off. Danielle's waving goodbye. And they're all just kind of dumbfounded by everything. Jessica says, Was that really him? And Damon says, "It was." And Danny is like, did he just say he was proud of us? And Luke's like, I don't even know what to say. And then Danielle says, "Sweet Christmas." And Luke says, "I think that says it all." And that's the end of the comic. And the little blurb at the bottom of this says, "Happy holidays to all people of all faiths and beliefs. Much love." I don't know if we needed that thing. I think we could have just ended with Danielle and Luke there. But I kind of dug this. You know, I liked the lore of Santa Claus, of St. Nicholas there. Krampus, you know, is always a good villain to fight at Christmas time. And I thought it was kind of cool how they brought all these characters together. You know, I don't know how common it was to have Damon Hellstrom, the son of Satan, in a comic in 2016, or if this was like a rare occurrence for him to show up. You know, I don't know that history. But we have Damon Hellstrom, we have Power Man and Iron Fist and Spider-Woman. I know she wasn't here. I mean, she was using her powers, but she wasn't in her Spider-Woman uniform or whatever. She was just Jessica Drew. And yeah, I thought it was a fun little comic, man. Kind of surprised me when I first saw it. I'm like, okay. Because the cover shows like the classic Santa Claus, you know, I forgot to talk about it at the beginning, describe what the cover was. But it's kind of one of those covers that doesn't depict what's in the show. It just shows something that might want you to read the comic. It shows Luke Cage and Iron Fist on the cover. Iron Fist is in his costume. Looks like they just took out a couple bank robbers, crooks kind of thing. And Luke is pouring the bag of money that these crooks had into like the Salvation Army box, you know, and there's a standard looking Santa Claus, you know, overweight, beard, glasses, who standing next to the money pot or whatever, giving Iron Fist a high five. And that is not the Santa Claus that we saw in this comic. And I really dug the Santa Claus that we saw, the St. Nicholas. I like that version, that lore of Santa Claus. It's pretty cool. And I did like the threat of Krampus. I didn't always care for the way the art depicted him. I thought that was very uneven. I like the idea of Krampus and how that fits in with the Santa Claus lore and all that kind of stuff. And generally, I liked the threat of him in this comic. But for the most part, you know, I feel that Krampus is overdone in many things. It's kind of run its course and needs to go on a break for a little bit. But again, this isn't 2023. This comic came out in 2016. So anyway, there you go. There's Power Man and Iron Fist, Sweet Christmas. A little Comics Cave one shot for you here. I hope you are having a good December, enjoying your holiday season. And thanks for listening. Like I said, this is going to go out to everybody. It's just kind of a little journey into Christmas present and kind of a apology or thank you for being patient with me in getting more Comics Cave episodes out. And here's hoping you all have a sweet Christmas.
Merry Christmas, baby. You sure did treat me nice.
Comics Cave was produced under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives License, which means that you are encouraged to share this with anyone you would like, but you cannot change the content, you cannot sell the content, and when you share it, you need to let people know where it came from.
Gave me a diamond ring for Christmas. Now I'm living in paradise. Mm-hmm. Said I'm feeling mighty fine. I got good music on my radio. Mistletoe.